When we start now in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the first word in the first verse, rebuke, I went to my Webster's 1828 to provide a definition, a dictionary definition, and we see it has to do with chiding, reproving, reprehend for a fault. And the beautiful thing about your Webster's 1828, if you have one, is it gives you Bible verses.
Yes.
So these Bible verses in this definition came out of the dictionary, which is a pretty good dictionary.
Yes.
Does that for you. And then the second definition, to check or restrain, the Lord rebuke thee, to chasten, to punish, to afflict, for correction. What I would like us to take away from all six of the definitions from Webster's and the six Bible verses that are attached to each one of the definitions is that the rebuke is done by the person who's in authority, and the one rebuked is the one not in authority. So when you see rebuke, not an elder, there's an authority issue, there is a respect issue. I know respect is a word that doesn't show up as much as it used to in modern American society, but we read in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that's the gray beard, the gray-headed fellow, maybe bald guy. And honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I'm the Lord. So there was a respect for the elders. When an elder's wrong, you deal with it. But it's not a rebuke. You go to him in a different spirit.
Yes.
If there's a youngster, a babe, maybe a rebuke's the only thing that'll help them. And you need to put down some rules and regulations in the spirit of Galatians chapter 4 in the first two verses. So Paul says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him. You still deal with him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and younger as sisters, with all purity. Now, the word in our King James Bible, entreat, is archaic for what we would now say entreat. It's the idea of requesting and submitting. If your elder is wrong, truth doesn't change because he's old.
Amen.
But you don't treat him in a disrespectful manner. One of the reasons for that, I'm going to suggest to you, is you think the elder's wrong. When you sit down and talk with him, you may rethink some things and find out he wasn't as far off the path as you thought he was, and maybe he knew more about the path than you did, and maybe you think that he was wrong. You were wrong. So don't go about rebuking him, but entreat him. And get the information settled. We discern, we entreat, we make a request. We're not, I'm the boss of you. It's not that the younger now runs things. The elder is in that elder position, not simply a matter of age, but a matter of experience and knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
The elder women, you treat as mothers. Now, the end of the verse in verse 2 talks about with all purity. In modern life, with all purity has different sorts of ramifications, maybe, than in Paul's day. In my 20 years serving as a pastor and having other opportunities apart from that as well, I would never, ever counsel anyone without Carol being there with me. A least Carol being there with me. You meet with a person alone in today's litigious society, and you don't know what story's going to come out of that room. The other side of that coin is, don't think you're as strong as you think you are. You might find yourself in a tempting situation. So get rid of that opportunity.
Yeah.
And wisdom fits in here somewhere. The church is not a dating service.
Amen.
Youth groups tend to be dating services. Churches have dances. There were times when I'd be seated in a pew with a person, and my wife would be at the other end of the sanctuary, seated in a pew facing a different direction. But she was there. Just to take that extra step to be certain that you were walking circumspectly and attempting to operate with all purity. So that is a present issue that needs attention paid. I could tell you many sad stories of preachers who get involved in counseling and then consoling, and it's a consoling hug, and you don't want to go where that goes. So, young people today tend to be disrespectful, not of simply of elders, but of the old ways of doing things.
Yes.
People don't have husbands and wives anymore. They have fiancés, or he's my baby's daddy. That kind of stuff. That now outnumbers married people. It's a different society just in my lifetime. I realize I am older than dirt, but things have changed.
Yes.
Purity hasn't. Right and wrong hasn't. Stick with the stuff.
Amen.
Now, in verses 3 through 7, we have an amazing section. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for it is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. A lot about widows, isn't it? Wow. You'd think the only verse in 1 Timothy was that a bishop needs to be the husband of one wife. You wouldn't know all this care over widows was even in the Bible. Go to 100 churches and ask them, how are you looking out for the widows indeed in your congregation? And I promise you, they will look at you with a hmm?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a calf looking at the new gate. There's going to be considerably more about widows as we go through this. The suggestion, well, it's more than a suggestion, is that members of the body of Christ are to be the safety net. Not the government, but the assembly.
Yes.
So clearly, in verse 5, if she's a widow indeed, and desolate and trusted in God, she's in a particularly tenuous situation. What if she's not desolate? She owns a townhouse in the Hamptons. Then the assembly doesn't need to take care of her.
Exactly.
Right. She that liveth in pleasure, Widows Living in Pleasure. And I gave Yoko Ono, Priscilla Presley, Dolly Parton, and the Merry Widow. But for the assembly to pool its resources to help Dolly Parton or some of these other widows, Priscilla Presley, would be rather a waste of resources, would it not?
Yes.
And they're living onto themselves, they're living onto the world. They've got all the resources that anybody could need. So Paul is giving Timothy specific instructions on how to deal with different sorts of people.
Yeah.
And Timothy has already been told, don't let the fact that you're a young guy get in the way here.
Yes.
So his management of young and old, and here we've got widows. A widow, indeed, is going to be 60 or older, and here Tim, he's a young guy. Tim needs to know how to handle these things, and Paul gives him specific data. So the assembly is clear, should have some responsibility toward looking after widows indeed. My experience is very limited in this regard, because I can only think of two in 20 years of pastoring that were widows indeed, and both of them moved and moved in with family, kids. So Sister Nisley was one.
Yep.
And she moved, went to Pennsylvania, and moved in with the kids. I'm trying to think of the name of the other one, but I can only think of two. But it doesn't come up a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when it does, you're supposed to pay attention and respond to it.
Yes.
I don't think it's happening. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. The they would be the people in the assembly being blameless over not frittering their money on Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Or Jane Fonda, or whoever. Jane Fonda's another one. Except in my dreams, there's no Ted Turner. God's not giving anybody their daily bread today. So, provision for the widows, indeed, is going to involve the assembly. Verse 8, if any provide not for his own. What if you got this 62-year-old gal? She's a widow. Oh, help me, help me, help me, help me. She's got four kids, two of them own their own business. Here comes verse 8. Why aren't they providing for the widow?
Yes.
This is not turning God into a vending machine here. This is not a welfare train. If any provide not for his own, she shouldn't be a widow indeed if the family's doing the right thing.
Yes.
See it? Mm-hmm. So, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 6, and not so much 7, but Paul's saying, here's your obligation with widows indeed. Identify them properly.
Yeah.
And by the way, if they got family, they're not a widow indeed. You need to go deal with the family.
Yeah.
Because they're worse than an infidel in not providing for their own.
Yes.
So not only does Paul teach Tim what you need to do, Paul teaches him how to fix the problems that are likely to show up, crop up in the system. Many provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house. Especially. Didn't that word show up earlier? Especially them that believe. See how Paul uses it? It has to do with specifically. So, Paul gives that warning. Now, infidelity, we tend to think of with I tend to teach as being an infidel with respect to being a Bible believer or knowing that there is a Bible and those kinds of infidelity attributes. Infidelity here has to do with having a job and taking care of your family.
Yes.
The reason why that's a Bible issue is if you think you're in the kingdom and you're expecting God to clothe you as the lilies of the field, you've made a mess.
Yes.
Just the other day, I was listening. Some of you may remember, there was a woman named Mahalia Jackson who used to sing these old hymns, and she's got one that his eyes on the sparrow and how he's going to clothe, and I think, boy, a beautiful song. Terrible doctrine.
Yes.
It's all wrong.
Yes.
But if that's where you are, then God will take care of you. But if it's not, then you need to provide for your own house.
Yes.
Now, let not, verse 9, a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. And by the way, she's not Elizabeth Taylor, having married Richard Burton twice and such other guys. She's not that way. She's been faithful to the one man. So, taken in under the number 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of good works. If she brought up children, if she lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, which was something, of course, cultural with sandals, you get dirty easy. If she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved, people are still on relief, aren't they?
Yeah.
Relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Some are going to say, if they're under 60, you just turn them away, verse 11, but the younger widows refuse. Not every younger widow is wanton.
That's right.
So I don't read the verse the way most of the commentators do. I'm thinking that the younger widows are refusing to... The younger widows who have chosen against the behavior in verse 10 are the wanton ones, whatever you make of it. The end result is it's not for everybody.
Yes.
That's a different way of thinking than modern Christianity. This says it is for everybody, which of course it can't be. The end result is their generosity changes.
Yes.
And rather than doing this for every widow indeed, once a year they'll have a benefit for a different way of doing things. These folks haven't lost their salvation, having damnation. They're separate from the assembly because they're wanted.
Yes.
When Paul turns somebody over to the devil, by that we know from 2 Thessalonians and 2 Timothy that all he's done is set out apart from the assembly. Because the world is run by the devil, so when you're not in that assembly of believers, you're in a bad place.
Yeah.
It's important, verse 10, to be well reported for good works. It's important that the faithfulness, that the quiet life has been exhibited. Now, Oliver B. Green says in his commentary, younger widows, women under 60, were to be refused. I have trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's lots of younger women that aren't widows. Do you refuse them? Because they can just as easily be wanton. Maybe more easily. So my suggestion is, the verse isn't Paul saying, hey Tim, don't let anybody under the age of 60 in. But rather, that the younger widows who have refused the lifestyle, the quiet life of verse 10. They're waxing wanton and we don't need them. Whatever you do with it, either way, the point is you don't just throw money at it.
Yes.
One of the bigger problems with governmental programs is they tend to just throw money at things.
Yep.
And end result is you have tremendous amount of corruption going on, money going to the wrong places. I didn't know anybody under the age of 65 could get Social Security until I met my wife. She was getting Social Security in college, remember? Because her father died in World War II, and there were certain payments made by Social Security to get. And I thought to myself, well, that's nice, but doesn't that open a big door?
It did.
And who decides how wide that door opens? In the grocery business, I remember here comes the most beautiful standing rib roast that our butcher had put out all week. And here comes all these fresh, wonderful vegetables, meats, and fruits, and at the back of that order, the lady had put a divider, and there were a couple cartons of cigarettes and some beer. And so the front part was paid with food stamps. And I'm looking at, I'm the bagger, you know. And I'm thinking, boy, she's way better than we. And it's food stamps. And then comes the booze and the cigarettes, and I'm thinking, there's something about that that doesn't ring right to me.
Amen.
I had a young man the first time I was a store manager. And I'd hired him, and oh, he was good, and I was so proud of him. He was catching on. I'd try to teach him something, to do something faster, and he'd learn it and do it. And so I gave him a promotion, and he was so thankful, and it was all great. And then he comes back the next week, and he says, I have to quit. I said, you have to quit. He said, yeah, now I'm making too much money. My family's going to lose its lower end housing over on South Street. And if I make too much money, we're out. I thought, what? Here's a kid. I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, I'm sorry to carry out boy, and I'm the store manager. Here's a kid that could do that. He's
yes.
Some folks can walk into retail and be there 100 years, and they can't do retail. They don't understand it. They don't have the personality for it. They couldn't put up a display and have anybody look at it twice. Other people, it's just like swimming or riding a bike. They walk in, they're just perfect at it. It's in their blood. It was, I thought this kid, he looked that way. Something bad wrong.
Yes.
So, the church can't become that. Mm-hmm. The assembly, the preacher may be a very generous, gregarious, outgoing, loving, but when he's spending somebody else's money, he needs to turn on his Scrooge.
Yes.
Because he's responsible for other people's money.
Yes.
He's responsible for doing something that won't be shameful when folks find out what it was. Some preachers are real good at spending other people's money. In fact, that's one of their greatest talents. So Paul is giving Tim a lot of specific warnings. And in verse 13, you've got some learning to be idle, wandering from house to house. I don't think that happens much anymore because everybody locks their doors and they have their APT system turned on. But there used to be, when everybody hung their clothes out on the clothesline out back of the house, and houses were just a driveway apart, one from the other, that there was a constant coming and going of people and conversations and all of that kind of stuff. And they became tattlers and busybodies.
Oh, yeah.
As the verse says, speaking things which they ought not. This is the devil's FBI. I call it Female Busybodies Incorporated. And I'm going to make ladies, mad about that. I'm in trouble all the way home. It's Christmas. You can't beat me up, right? The Mass of the Christ covers all that. Most every assembly has somebody that you can count on to have the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
The latest whatever. And that's a shame.
Yes, it is.
Showing them the door would be probably a good thing for everybody. Men now have their own, it would be the MBI, the Masculine Busy Bodies Incorporated, have joined the ranks, and they all have Facebook pages, and they tweet each other and text during services. I think I was watching America's Funniest Home Videos, and you see this couple being married. And you're looking over the pastor's shoulder, who is reading them the last rites. Isn't that what you're reading? Reading them the marriage ceremony. And this lady has a white dress on with lots of lace and stuff, and it cuts across the front of her bodice.
Strength.
And so she reaches in and pulls out from her brassiere her phone. Now the preacher's still reading the service and she's done.
Behind the veil.
Her husband, who is demonstrably older than she, is looking at her like, oh no. Mister, that was your chance. You're not going to get a better one. That was your chance. And she gets, and she looks at it and puts it back. Yeah, that's all of these verses. I watched people with Bluetooth, or watched people in Wally World. Well, they don't have a green one. Good night. Can't you buy a blue one without calling home? Seriously, it's just nuts. Well, I'm so grateful to have a Bible and to have a life where I don't have to be constantly texted and tweeted to think that I'm worthy. These folks won't be ambassadors anytime soon. So Paul warns against the busybodies and the tattlers speaking things which they ought not. He wills then, verse 14, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. What a concept. Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. Wow. Anybody ever consider doing that in 21st century America? Doesn't come up much, does it?
No.
Younger widows, Paul deals with, young ladies, wanton, tattlers, busybodies. Lots of issues raised of a specific nature.
Yep.
These are the kinds of issues Timothy might prefer to avoid. Let's talk about Noah and the Ark. How about old Mephibosheth? Wasn't he something?
Oh, yeah.
Let's turn to 2 Hezekiah and read about Mephibosheth. Paul's not allowing Timothy that kind of latitude, is he?
No.
Verse 16, if any man or woman believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. So you see, the assembly is to be a safety net, not a hammock. And that there are rules and regulations that Paul's giving Timothy to make him smarter. Took me some bad experiences to learn. early on in ministry, I was wanting to be helpful, wanting to be quote unquote do the Christian thing. And I found out that you get plucked like a chicken if you're not careful.
Yes.
That a lot of those phone calls really weren't people who were on their last dollar and needed to buy formula. We were still in the Grange Hall on Dayton Senior Road when our meeting was interrupted by a man who came in, and there was a couple other people behind him, but he walked right down. We had folding chairs. He walked right down the middle. I said, I don't mean to interrupt. Let's see, he had already interrupted, right? So what have I got on my hands? I've got a liar already.
Yes.
I didn't used to think that way. I used to, you know, cut him slack. Well, now, I didn't say anything. I didn't say, well, you're a liar. You already interrupted. But I already knew that.
Yeah.
But my wife's out in the car, and little Luke, some Bible name, little Hezekiah's out there, and we need Pampers. We need Pampers real bad. So I walked over, I think it was to Brother Sensabaugh, and I said, Brother, Latinos is right down the block. You take them into Latinos and you buy them some Pampers. Oh, no, we'll take it. You don't have to go. Just give me the money, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
He's learned well.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, you absolutely have to learn, or you'll be plucked like a chicken. Mm-hmm. So, who would be more sympathetic than a destitute widow?
Yeah.
Whose husband owns General Motors, by the way.
We'll stop there.